Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow with Wizards.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics and download and time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content to view what it did. Do everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real review.
Unstoppable, we beat, we brought our bitch, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans. You keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm, coming to me to the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's beauty, it's a life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, representing for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the head. Two-pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder, massing music show. Free the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on the streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Vanilla song, I see you feeding for the show. Let's get the drum, let's get it on.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. Welcome to Murder Master Music Show's episode 657. And we keep moving along. And as you know, we've been doing, writer's appreciation. I want to interview people who I feel contribute to the culture. We just had, Kyle Eustace on the show. We had the homie Charlie Braxton on the show. And tonight we're going to have Justin Ivey. He's a phenomenal journalist who's interviewed just about everybody. He's covered stories on everybody. Tonight we're gonna interview him, talk about his story. So without further ado, let's bring on Mr. Justin Ivey. How you doing, Justin?
Hey, Scott. Good to talk to you.
And it's good to talk to you as well. We've been doing this for a long time, man. I always considered you one of my peers who I definitely feel has contributed a lot to the game. For those that don't know, those that are tuning in right now, where are you from and where did you get your start and kind of your love for hip-hop?
Oh, I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and, born and raised. As far as, my love of hip-hop, I would say the first, I've kind of inundated with the usual Louisiana music, the No Limits, the Cash Monies and stuff like that. But I think, the one that really hooked me was Wu-Tang Clan. And, I remember on the old, video box channel where you could like order the videos and stuff like that. I remember, sitting around on those, just, waiting around for Method Man videos and stuff like that. I think, Wu-Tang and then, being in Baton Rouge, UGK is, real huge down here. So, Wu-Tang and UGK really kind of informed my worldview on hip hop and got me, and made me fell in love with it.
Doing what you love doing. Yeah. Those are two huge influences on myself too. Wu-Tang, love the fact that they're getting recognition now, all these years later. You got the TV show, and you got crazy big pharmaceutical moguls wanting to buy albums that only they can own from them. I mean, their legend has grown so big over the years. Have you had the chance to chop it up with any Wu-Tang members? If so, man, what are your recollections from that?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I interviewed Master Killer a few, early on in my career, I guess. And, I think what was just striking about that was just how, down to earth and humble he was. He's, it's not, hard to believe, you know, just with his personality within the group. But, you know, when you're dealing with somebody who's reached that type of stardom, you know, like you always, you know, are kind of surprised, like when they're just a regular person, you know, and the fame hasn't gotten to their head or made them, you know, jaded to that point. So, you know, that was cool. And then also, you know, in my early days, I used to love and you know, I still do, the Wu-Tang affiliates and stuff like that. So I had gotten kind of close over the years to Hellraiser, and, you know, I still stay in touch with him to this day. You know, he had a little health scare a few years ago, but, you know, it's been kind of cool to, you know, keep in touch with him. And, but yeah, it's been cool to connect with some of those guys like that. And just this year, I interviewed the Sasha Jenkins, who directed their documentary that was on Showtime.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's huge. Yeah, shout out to Hellraiser, man. Yeah, he was on the show a couple years back. I believe he was working on a documentary documenting his recovery from, I think he had an aneurysm, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, that right there is awesome to see that type of perseverance after such a tragic event. I know a lot of the guys that we've had on the show that were really a huge part of our show, people like Fresh Kid Ice, DJ Ready Red, even Jerry Heller, they've passed away. You know, rest in peace to them guys. Was there anybody over the years that you interviewed that you kind of, you know what I'm saying, got close to and they were taken too soon?
I'm not sure if there's anybody that, you know, that I interviewed specifically that, you know, I can recall, like, you know, passing away early or anything like that. But, you know, just being down the road from New Orleans, you know, I really would cover, you know, guys like that, a lot of guys from the scene like that. And so seeing, you know, somebody like Tim Smooth, you know, who was part of the early Rap-A-Lot days, you know, lose his life, unfortunately. And, you know, things like that kind of stick out in my mind as, you know, people that I was covering that, you know, passed away. And I remember one of my very, like, first pieces for DX was, you know, when Koopsa from 3-6 passed away. You know, I got asked to just kind of reflect on his legacy and his, you know, because he's kind of one of that, you know, unheralded member. You know, everybody knows DJ Paul and Juicy J. And, you know, Lord Infamous' flow has obviously become so, you know, but Koopsta kind of gets forgotten sometimes of, you know, just how important he was.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, huge part of the group. I mean, he had a whole flow and style all of his own,
that's,
you know. But, yeah, man, that's definitely right there, you know. Shout out to and rest in peace to Coop. You know, you mentioned DX. Where was the first place that you were writing for, or magazine, or was it a website? Or
it was a website. It was actually a blog, KevinNottingham.com. And yeah, I was in I was just in college at LSU here in Baton Rouge, and I was thinking my life, you know, oh, I'd be a sports writer or something like that. Like, I didn't know. You know, in Louisiana, I didn't see, like, how do you cover music from Louisiana, essentially. But I kind of stumbled my way into a radio hosting Underground Sounds, which was the hip-hop show at LSU's college radio station. And going there, it was like, just opened up a world. I was like, oh, okay, I love hip-hop, this could be my job. I could find a way to cover it for a living. Like, I don't have to just go follow some high school sports team or something. Like, I could do this. I could do something I truly love. So that opened, doing that show opened up the door to Kevin Nottingham, and, like, they were just looking for interns, and I joined for a summer, and then boom, I was there with them until the very end of the site. So, yeah, that was kind of my crash course in learning the blog game and the writing game and everything like that.
Which eventually caught the attention of Hip Hop DX. When did you get on board with them?
I got on board with DX full time in 2017. I had, you know, freelance for them before that, But for the first two for the years prior to that, for about 2015 to 17, I was at XXL doing news writing and just, you know, occasional features and stuff like that for XXL. And but yeah, you know, editor in chief Trent Clark approached me, you know, in 2017, was like, man, I want to bring you over to DX. And you know, DX was like, you know, all kind of journalists talk about, like, the source was there. You know, their Bibles, you know, and stuff like that. Well, like, for me, like, being a little younger, like, DX was mine, you know. Like, I came up on DX, so, like, getting the opportunity to work at DX, that was just kind of a dream come true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you were, I mean, here you are in college, you're talking about you might be covering high school sports games and whatnot, and then a few years later, you're XXL, Hip Hop DX, I mean, it had to have just been an ultimate high for you, being that this is something you love and you want to do. What are some of the moments that you reflect on since you've been doing this, Justin?
Well, I think some of the, maybe like the first surreal moment of my career was like going to A3C and, like, running into Ninth Wonder and him knowing me, you know, like, something like that was just like, well, wait a minute, like, why, you know, why is this producing legend know who I am, you know, kind of thing. Like, those are kind of, you know, cool little moments that you make you think. You know, along those lines, like, I loved, you know, on A3C, like, one year I was with Kevin Nineam, I was kind of booking the show, and we brought out Cannibal Ox, you know, we reunited them on stage to headline the show. So, like, that was, you know, that was like a special moment in my career. And then I guess, you know, more recently is just, you know, being able to connect with, you know, so many artists and be able to just, you know, do this full time and, you know, be able to make a life out of it is just, you know, it's just been kind of special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Plus, it's a bonus when, like, a legend, like, recognizes your contributions, you know. You know, that's always a beautiful thing. I remember, you know, the homie Carino, he put my name in a song, and I was like, holy shit, that's my favorite artist, you know. So it's a beautiful thing, man, when some of your favorite artists actually acknowledge you, you know. But what about the other side of the game? I mean, you and I both know, you know, it can get ugly sometimes, especially when you cover, you know, certain things that, you know, might be controversial or whatnot. Have you ever had any situations? I mean, I've had a shitload of them. But have you ever had any situations when you think, man, maybe I shouldn't do this story or this interview or man, it's getting out of hand?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, my biggest one would probably be was covering a 50 Cent story. And, you know, I reached out, you know, he had agreed to some deal, and I was kind of like looking at it like, you know, like this doesn't add up. So I, you know, reached out to the people that he did the deal with, and they said, oh, no, they, you know, they didn't do a deal or whatever. Boom, it turned into a whole lawsuit and mess, and it just yeah, kind of blew up in everybody's face. And so, yeah, I was I learned a little lesson about not going into 50 Cent territory unless I got bulletproof, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pardon the pun, right? Yeah, you got to be bulletproof because, you know what I'm saying, a lot of these guys you just don't know. I interviewed his son a while back. And I remember BET, they posted an excerpt of the interview, and within a day it was taken down. So somebody had gotten to whoever was over there and convinced them to turn it down. I have a pretty good idea who it might be. But, yeah, I feel you on that. It can get crazy at times, but the good definitely outweigh the bad because, you know, you're able to shed light on great things like maybe the new Schoolie D project or Ice-T or, you know, who are some of the pioneers that you really like talking to over the years?
Oh, wow. Man, I mean, I've always kind of been drawn to kind of like indie and the underground, you know, stuff. And you mentioned Kay Reno. Like, Kay Reno is somebody I loved covering. You know, it was always cool to, you know, like in those early days and just be one of the only places online, like, really covering him. And, like, that would be, you know, just, you know, getting emails from Kay Reno, like, that's something I wouldn't have believed in high school, like, and things like that. But, yeah, Kay Reno comes to mind, you know, somebody that's, you know, kind of maybe underappreciated in terms of his pioneer status, you know, especially in Houston. And, definitely. And, you know, really, you know, anybody in that lane, kind of like the, you know, the South Park Coalition. And, you know, I really love, like, old New Orleans music. And so, like, linking up with people like Ice Mike, you know, who produced just a ton of stuff back in the day for, you know, all types of New Orleans artists, the Bally Boys, you know, tapes like that. So those are probably some of the, yeah. So that's like
precise.
Some of my favorites to, like, reach out to. And, you know, as a, and then people that just were, like, you know, big influences to me is, like, you know, talking to, you know, Slug from Atmosphere is, like, I always loved Rhyme Sayers music and stuff. So, you know, getting to have a little talk with him is always, has always been, you know, really cool. And I really enjoyed that too.
Yeah, yes, yeah, Slug, Brother Ali, and then you mentioned Kay Reno. So those guys are all just top-notch lyricists. When did you start listening to Kay Reno? Did you start from the beginning, or did a certain album? What time frame did you start listening to him?
Sometime in high school, you know, just kind of, it's like, you know, in those mid-2000s, is like my favorite thing to do would just be, like, go on all those old Blogspot pages, and you just stumble on these regional rap scenes and, like, you know, Bay Area, and get into stuff like the Jacka, and then, like, you know, with Houston, obviously, with Kay Reno, SBC, you know, the whole Screwed Up Click too, and guys like that. And I think, like, the first song that maybe really stands out of my head with Kay Reno would be Break It Down. Like, I just remember loving that song, and, like, that song being so vivid and so, like, in my mind, like, oh, wow, like, this, I need to know this person. I need to know everything. So just the way I operated, it would be like, I hear something like that, well, now I got to hear the whole discography. And so it's like going back to Stories from the Black Book and everything and just listening.
Yeah, and with his discography, it's crazy because, I still can't believe he dropped 7 full-length albums on one and on the same day, you know.
Right, he's making it really hard right now with those bulk releases.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely, you know. But you being right there in Baton Rouge, you were surrounded by just the golden era of the Gulf Coast. You know, like we were talking about, all the early No Limit Cash Money, but of course you had Big Boy Records, you know, Mobo Camp, you had C-Loke, Young Bleed, so many different, Little Witness, I don't know if you heard of him or not, he was real dope out of Baton Rouge.
I talked to, I actually interviewed Witness and Tebow when they put out an album here for local publication.
Oh, yeah. He's real dope. You know, but you're right there in a good spot for hip-hop, actually. But, you know, now that, you're at DX and you've been to, XXL and, you know, you got a lot of years under your belt, what are your plans for the future? A lot of journalists are putting out books, things like that. You got anything like that in the works? Or?
No books in the works, but it's like, like you said, it's kind of one of those bucket list things. It's like, man, you know, if the right opportunity arises, it's definitely something I'd, you know, enjoy or entertain. And especially if it was, you know, something kind of, I guess, more niche and, you know, something, you know, maybe exploring Louisiana hip hop or, you know, just kind of underserved things that might be something, you know, fun to explore like that. But, but right now it's just pounding the way ahead on the digital side and you know, making waves as I can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You're making a lot of waves, brother. I got to bring on the homie Sin from France. I know he's on the line right now. He's probably got a question or two for you. Sin, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, Justin.
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah. You mentioned that you grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and did you listen to the earlier stuff like Sealock or legendary pioneer Silky Slim of Bada Bassi or stuff like that, underground Baton Rouge?
Oh, yeah. The camp is just everything here in BR, you know. It's like, definitely, I think, like, this year, you know, one of my most proud moments was probably, you know, talking to Max Minnelli. I got to do a cover story in our local paper about Max because he was releasing his final album, and, you know, Max Minnelli was such a big part of the camp. And, you know, being able to pin that story and get such a, you know, major placement for it, you know, in the city was like, that just meant a lot to me because, you know, being in Baton Rouge, like, Max was our Nas, you know, Max was our Jay-Z, you know, Max was the supreme lyricist that everybody admired, you know, when you went to that. Like, obviously, Boosie's huge, and CeeLo, you know, earlier on was huge, but it was like Max was the guy for lyricists, and that's always what attracted me to hip-hop was the rhymes.
I remember Silky Slim, like, the earlier song, I Sold My Soul to the Hood. I Sold My Soul to the Hood. It was a dope song, all styles.
Oh, yeah, man. Silky Slim is still involved in the community like crazy. You know, he's always out there, you know, helping out with the kids and, you know, involved in the activism scene here. So it's like, man, yeah. Silky's still a big part of BR.
Yeah, more political now. Yeah.
We definitely need to get him on the show. That's another legend, you know what I'm saying, from Baton Rouge that we haven't had a chance to talk to. Yeah, man, that's awesome that you're able to do that on a local scene, too. So in addition to you know, DX and everything, you write for your local newspaper. How long have you been doing that?
A few years, you know, maybe like three to five, you know, somewhere in that range. I can't really remember my first one, but it was just like, you know, just kind of establishing myself as a, you know, a hip hop guy, you know, nationally has just made, you know, editors locally kind of realize it's like, oh, if we need a story, you know, let's go to him about it. So, you know, that's been fun to, you know, because I love writing about the local scene, so getting those opportunities to do that and, you know, stuff like Max, like, it'd be hard to get that on a national publication, but, you know, I find a way to do it now at, like, DX by, you know, having a reason to cover it locally and then take the rest of it and say, oh, hey, well, let me sneak this on the DX, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a cool thing. I mean, that's what I did with Murder Dog, you know, back in the day. I was able to filter in a few people who I thought were dope on a local level. And it worked, you know. It made some people heard and seen, you know, by people like Sin in France and other countries. So we have a lot of power to be able to do that for people. And it's a great responsibility to do. Sometimes, though, I don't know about you, but there's been a few people I wish I didn't put my energy behind and getting them heard and whatnot, but you take the good with the bad, you know. Another person, you know, we were talking about that we had on the show, Kyle Eustace. The two of you guys are killing it. What's it like to work with her?
Oh, it's been great. I mean, you know, definitely one of the best coworkers I've ever had in my life. And just, you know, it's, I guess, you know, we're kind of yin and yang. It's just like, we're kind of the perfect balance between each other. And just, you know, she's got a crazy work ethic. It's amazing to watch it in action. And like earlier today, you know, just watching her in action was impressive. And, but yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of I'm lucky. I'm lucky to have somebody that, you know, good beside me, because it's like, you know, you never know what you'll get in this line of work. You might get somebody that's just, you know, just there trying to get their bylines up because, you know, they want to do something besides hip hop. You know, they don't, you know, love hip hop. They want to, you know, they're just using it as a platform to something else. And it's like, when you get actual hip hop heads working together, it's always the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. That's why, you know, it's always good to have Sin call in, because, like, he'll bring up albums and tapes and songs to artists that they don't even remember they did, you know, on certain occasions.
<He's> a...
So, yeah, yeah. He's the hip-hop encyclopedia. But that's a beautiful thing, because, you know, it brings out much more of a better conversation than just the same old thing over and over again, you know? You kind of want to dig in the crates a little bit. Kind of like
Absolutely.
That goofy dude, Nardwar, man. That guy, he's crazy, but I love his interview style, because he'll pull out like an album that's 30 years old and just, bam, what do you think about this? You know, and
Absolutely.
That's pretty interesting.
I'm jealous of his research.
His research is crazy. Yeah. He, I remember he was interviewing Bushwick Bill, and he asked him about Gangster Nip. I thought that was dope, because Gangster Nip's a guy that you never really hear people talk about, yet he pretty much created a whole genre for people, you know. But, yeah, he asked him about, you know, tell us about the South Park Psycho. Of course, Bushwick Bill, rest in peace. That was a hard one to take, too. Bushwick Bill, he was such a real personality, you know. Everybody loved the guy that I talked to. Did you ever have the chance to interview him?
I never got to interview Bill, unfortunately, but, you know, I remember on one of, you know, one of the Ghetto Boys reunions in recent years, you know, they came through by New Orleans, and just kind of finally getting to see the Ghetto Boys all together live was definitely just an experience that I'll never forget. And their live show is just crazy with Bill and, you know, Bill's antics and stuff like that. So, you know, obviously Ghetto Boys were, you know, huge in my life listening. And, you know, and there's also that Louisiana connection to them too, you know, with Big Mike being there for a little, you know, that one album and him being from New Orleans. Yeah, Ghetto Boys obviously mean a lot, and, you know, it was really sad to see, you know, Bill pass away.
Bill, I was looking at the Mugshot album the other day, and I was like, man, this is crazy, because half these guys are gone now, both Red and Bill, you know. And it's that's why I believe in giving people their flowers while they're here. You know, so many of these guys, you know, they get forgotten. And that's why I want to, again, commend you for, like you said, you do this for the love of hip-hop. Some people don't. And you can tell the ones who don't, because they don't cover, you know, the good stuff that happens in hip-hop. They're just worried about the trends or the controversies, you know. You got to have a balance. That's why I try to tell people. What would you say is, you know, your biggest pet peeve when it comes to, you know, interviewing somebody? Is there any anything that, like, pisses you off that people do, like waiting for them, or does everything just go smooth?
I mean, the waiting can always be a problem, but it's like you get kind of used to it. It's you take it as a blessing when an interview starts on time. I think the main thing with me is just as like, if someone is just clearly, you know, they're not into it, you know, it's like they didn't want to be interviewed, they, you know, their publicist dragged them into this situation or something like that. It's like, you know, I'm always trying to have a conversation, you know. It's like I'm not trying to come in with a bunch of questions that I just scratching off and say, okay, if we did this, we did this, you know. I want to hear this story, and I want to
age.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, it's like I want to hear, you know, stuff about them, you know. I want to know the, you know, stories behind the songs, behind the making of the songs, how they got there, you know. It's so I always want an engaged interviewee, and I think, you know, one thing I am thankful for is, you know, I've been lucky to, you know, usually find those types of subjects, and, you know, usually it's always, you know, haven't had any bad experiences of late.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't for years. I remember one time I interviewed, Exhibit. And he, I guess he was having a bad day. And I remember he was telling me about his restaurant. And I was like, well, what's on the menu? I don't know. You're going to have to wait till it opens. You know, he was giving me those one-word answers. I was like, okay, I'm going to end this one quick. He doesn't seem to be in a good mood today. But for the most part, though, it's a blessing because you get to talk to some real good people and you get to capture some real good moments. Looking back, you know, was there anything that you felt that you captured that you thought, holy shit, this is just legendary?
Oh, wow. I would say, like, this year, like, that Wu-Tang interview I mentioned, you know, with the director, Sasha Jenkins, it was just like,
yeah,
just being someone that had been listening to Wu all my life and just, like, you know, studying him like a, you know, like a history class. It's like, I felt like more than anything, you know, looking at him too as a journalist, it was just like, I was able to connect with him on that level and just on this deep Wu-Tang level and get some, you know, just some great perspective on how that documentary got made and everything and what went into it. So, you know, at least this year off the top of my head, like that's one that stands out a lot.
Well, that's huge. You know, someone you grew up, you know, listening to. That's how I was when I interviewed DMC. I never had the opportunity to interview him at Murder Dog, you know, and that was like the first group I listened to as a kid was Run DMC, like so many of us back then. And when I finally did get to interview him, man, I was just like a little kid all over again. You know, at first I didn't know what to say, and you know, I was just like a groupie, a fan, you know, fanboy, big time. But
right.
He was hella cool, and you know, before you knew it, we were just chopping it up, having a good conversation. And is there anybody, you know, that you haven't had the opportunity to interview that you would like to interview?
Oh man, yeah, I think you know, my bucket list probably is GZA, Bun B, and Rakim. You know, it's like, if I scratch those three off the list, I'll feel okay. I accomplished everything.
You said GZA, Bun B, and who was the other one? Rakim. Yeah, yeah. Oh man, that would be huge. I never had the opportunity to talk to Rakim. Now I did interview the other two for Murder Dog back in the day, but haven't had them on the show. But that would be awesome. If I ever do, I'll tell you what, man. If I get them before you, I'm going to give you a call and let you co-host that episode with me, if that's
all
cool
right.
With you.
I appreciate it. I'm going to hold you to it.
yeah, no doubt, man. Yeah, because, you know, something like that, you know, it only comes by, you know, once every so often. Like I was saying, DMC, I know that was 5 years ago almost, and I know that's probably going to be the only time I ever get to interview him. You know, some guys, it's just so rare, you know. I know Kyle was talking about she wanted to interview the Beastie Boys, you know, Ad Rock and Mike D, why she can, you know, because, you know, MCA is gone. That's another one. Rest in peace. You know, that's the thing. We gotta give these guys their flowers while they're here, if we can, you know.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you what, it's been great just chopping it up with you. Before we go, I want to give you the floor, Justin. You know, if you want to holler out, you know, social media or websites or anything, man, shout outs, it's all yours, brother.
Oh, thank you, man. People can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at JustinIvey_, and it's IVEY. And, yeah, you can check out my work pretty much every day on Hip Hop DX. That's the easiest way to find me.
Definitely. Thanks again for taking time out to let me pick your brain a little bit about this hip-hop game. And, as we get out of here. I couldn't find Wu-Tang on the board. I thought I had a few tracks, but I got this yesterday, PSK 13 featuring UGK. So we're going to get out of here to this. Thanks again, Justin. You take care, man.
Absolutely, man. You too.
The room pulls back. Open up my door while I pay for the movie, get the contact. Living our life wrong, cause I wasn't supposed to live long. These feet are strong, I'd be gone if it wasn't for these rap songs. We used to sell dope, cause time don't hold up. How the fuck you gon' eat if you ain't got shit to fold up? But I keep my mind on dying young, doing 40 for cheddar. We smoke a skunk and pop in a trunk to make me feel better. My paint ain't got much wetter than it was in 92. My mama a beer for Christmas, doing shit you boys trying to do. And even though we got fame, we love to grip the grain. Even though these hoes say that I change, hey bitch, I'm still the same. Dealing with the same thing, just in a new game. Ain't touch no cane, trying to have shit like Lil James. It's dedicated to the street niggas that passed away. Staying high, trying to hold on to yesterday.
I never thought that there would ever be a time when a man I wanna kill another man behind a rhyme. I never thought that I would ever live to see another man try to come and take my life away from me. I never thought that I would ever have to deal with the fact that to protect my life somebody might get killed. But I'll survive and I know I'm blessed to say I realize that tomorrow won't be like yesterday.
I remember this like yesterday. Saturday 9 o'clock, electric company back door by Schoolhouse Rock. Shit, didn't have no bills then, but now I got bills. Seems like I'm only your bills, and living only for Skrill. I was only 13, managed, used to run through some shit. Used to catch the bus to the Majestic and watch Kung Fu flick. Little League basketball, I'm hooping, baby, scoring all the points. After the game, I'm chipping in with the Twins on the joint. The Lanky motherfucker, I'm growing up fast. The only dream was to somehow end up folding up cash. These H-Town streets produce this game of mine. Forever in a fuck you frame of mind. I changed with the times, now these boys come with places. And I'm screaming till I'm dying, baby, the most shit in Texas. I remember this like yesterday in jellies and braids. And now these boys chop the avenue on 20s and blades.
I never thought that there would ever be a time when a man don't wanna kill another man behind a rhyme. I never thought that I would ever live to see another man try to come and take my life away from me. I never thought that I would ever have to deal with the fact that to protect my life somebody might get killed. But I'll survive and I know I'm blessed to say I realize that tomorrow won't be like yesterday. As my day goes by, I wish I could close my eyes and just expose myself to my past. But I suppose I can't change the path that I chose. Why would I wanna? Everybody knows I just try to do right and keep it all tight in my pros. I watching 5-0's try and traveling first class like the pros fly. I'm looking round corners trying to see where my foes lie. The master of the class like blow fly. But really I'm so sly, you probably wouldn't buy it. Drugs I used to ride it, used to hide it, used to sell it, even tried to deny it to the end to my mama, but eventually it came out. Her baby son that turned the game out, couldn't take the shame out of eyes. All the lies, all the excuses, when your mama's crying it's all useless. Boy you ain't ruthless, you just your mama's baby, who hoping and praying that maybe things could be like yesterday. I never thought that there would ever be a time when a man don't wanna kill another man behind a rhyme. I never thought that I would ever live to see another man try to come and take my life away from me. I never thought that I would ever have to deal with the fact that to protect my life somebody might get killed. But I'll survive and I know I'm blessed to say I realize that tomorrow won't be like yesterday. I never thought that there would ever be a time when a man would want to kill another man behind a rhyme. I never thought that I would ever live to see another man try to come and take my life away from me. I never thought that I would ever have to deal with the fact that to protect my life somebody might get killed. But I'll survive and I know I'm blessed to say I realize that tomorrow won't be like yesterday.